Hello, everyone. Welcome to Life Journeys with Serena. It is Monday, January 20th, 2025. Oh my goodness. I'm Serena, and welcome to the last show of our wonderful Monday lineup. This is a pre-record. Just so you all know, it's actually 2 a.m. right now as I'm recording this. I'm standing here rocking our wonderful baby boy Shelby, and I really should just change the name of the show to Life Journeys with Serena and Shelby. I may just do that because at this point, this little guy is my little co-host. So for those of you who are new to the show or haven't listened in the past couple weeks, I have my lovely little 2-month-old here who is glued to my hip as he should be and is the joy of my life and is my little sidekick. So he's actually mentioned every once in a while with all the other shows because I've also started producing for a lot of 1-2 Radio's shows. So I have been with you all live all morning with Kat's show and also with Lori the Love Sherpa. But I'm having some odd mix up with my mixer, so I figured I would just play it safe and make sure I could get some new content out to you guys and do a pre-record for today's show. But I am still troubleshooting everything to I've got all my settings lined up so I can produce everybody else perfectly, but I have yet to figure out how to also line up all the settings for my own mic to stream live. So it is a work in progress, and we are all learning as fast as we can. But I will be back live with you all soon. It is January 20th. My gosh, this month is already flying by. I swear it was just the new year. And I can't believe that it was actually already 2 weeks ago that I was doing my last pre-recording for this show, and time is such a different concept to me now that I'm a mom. And the last time I was re doing a pre-record for my show, this little guy was feels like a lot smaller, a lot younger. It's only been 2 weeks, but so much has changed, and he's just growing right before my eyes. But yeah, it is January 20th, which means it's Inauguration Day. And obviously, at the time that I'm recording this, the inauguration has not happened yet. So I think we're all a little bit nervous. We'll see how it all goes. And, I try to keep everything pretty neutral politically here, and I don't want this to turn into a whole political space. That's not what I intend this space to be. But I just want to take a second and say that I hope everyone is being safe. I hope everyone's being intentional and is consciously engaging with the people around them in a smart way. So, yeah, it is a wild world that we live in, and talk about chaos and divide. And I hope we can turn a new leaf and move forward in a positive way, and we'll see how that goes. I know a lot of us aren't too optimistic about it, but everything about this year for me is I just have to have the focus of optimism. And it's actually something I really want to spend some time talking about today and talking about the ways that we can be optimistic and encourage optimism into our life and invite optimism into our life and invite growth into our life. Just so much is just heavy these days. And it can be really easy to be fully sucked into the weight of the world around us, unless we really intentionally shift our focus into the positive. And it was so clear to me that this was what I needed to talk about today, because I had a very clear sign, a very clear message from the energy around me that no matter what, optimism and growth can be strong, and that magic is in the world all around us, and that nature is something that we can always go back to. And it's something that I've always looked to whenever I'm struggling to be optimistic. I always love to return to nature, to ground myself in nature in some way around me, whether that's going to the ocean and just being and hearing the waves and being by the water, or if it's taking a walk in the park through some trees, or just getting the sunshine on my face. There's so many ways that we can ground ourselves in nature that I always just found to be one of the most healing and fastest resets that I could possibly find. But I was, every time I've looked at what 2025 is going to feel like, and starting around mid-December, I started getting everybody asking, God, what does the new year hold for me on all my readings and want to listen, and just looking for myself as well. I think especially being a new mom, there are a lot of nerves that can be around what a new year brings and what it. So much of this year feels chaotic. The energy of 2025 does feel like it's just unpredictable. It feels like there are so many factors at play. There's so many things that we can't control, and it does feel a bit chaotic. And in the midst of that energy, the last thing I want for anybody, the last thing I want for any of us is to be sucked into that chaos or to give in to fear of the unpredictable in that. And the energy around me, the energy around me definitely made sure. I know, Papa. Good job. And little Shelby wants to remind us that sometimes all you need is a nap. How true is that? Sometimes we just need a nap or some food. But the energy around me sent me the most beautiful, warm, loving message in that I have this incredible cherry tomato plant that I planted around June, as we moved into this house in June of last year. So I planted it way later than I probably should have. And it took a while to get going, but I'd go out and I'd take care of it and I'd water it in the morning and I'd prune it but it never really gave me that many tomatoes. But I still took care of it because I love tomatoes, so I get one or two a week. That's great. sometimes it was less than that, but when I was really pregnant, and then when we had this beautiful boy. I went about 3 months without touching that tomato plant. It was only getting water when it rained. I did not put up any sort of protection from the cold. And we're in the Bay Area, so we are blessed with beautiful California weather, but we're Northern California. It dips down into the 40s at night, and we've definitely had some chilly nights in the past few weeks, especially getting down into the 30s. But just a few, about a week ago, I'm out in my garden. I'm starting to spend more time in my garden, especially as I look to this year and what I want to do. And there are these beautiful bunches of cherry tomatoes. And it's a golden cherry tomato plant. And they are the sweetest, juiciest tomatoes ever. And that's with no attention, no care, no maintenance for 3 months. And I was just in shock. And it was incredible that I took away two things. I took away the reminder of resilience and optimism and growth and how powerful that is. But I was also shown how incredibly successful and bountiful something can be when you step away. Because sometimes what you just need is space. Right? Sometimes you need to meddle less. Sometimes you need to just let things happen and unfold as they are meant to. And I think these are some really important things for all of us to focus on as we're navigating how we want this year to go. So I'm going to post a picture of this awesome tomato plant in the chat room. Because even though this is pre-recorded, you guys, I'm still live with you in the chat room, so I'll be checking in throughout the hour to respond and chat with you all. And for those of you who have not gone into the chat room before, it's really easy to do. You just go to 12radio.com. And on the left-hand side, you will see the third option down says chat. So click on that and it'll open a new window, which will take you into our Facebook group, also called 12 Radio. And if you haven't joined before, just request to join and I'll make sure to get you in. And if you scroll down, you will see my banner, which is me on the beach with my pup. And you can put a comment in the underneath the banner in that post. And I'll jump in and say hi to you guys. So that's where I'm going to put a picture of this wonderful reminder of a tomato plant. So that you guys can see how beautiful this little encouragement of optimism is that I was lucky enough to receive, that I was blessed to receive. It's been on my mind a lot how powerful that message is. And I hope you all are able to take it maybe as a reminder as well that less is more, and that the less worry, the less we torture ourselves over a decision that we have to make or something we have to do, or just I know we can all get so stuck on these cycles of worrying about things. And as much as you're able to let that worry go and trust in whatever you believe in, that things will work out, that there are other factors and other forces at play that are supporting you. Energy is all around you, supporting you. Magic is everywhere. And there is something so beautiful about acknowledging that. And when we look at things like nature, when we look at things like growing food, and this is something that I'm going to be talking about a lot this year on this podcast, on this radio show, because I am, it's for the first time, starting my own vegetable garden. I am a green witch. I've always loved growing things. I've loved my house plants. I've had my window herbs before. I've dabbled in trying to grow things like tomatoes before, obviously. But this is the first time I've had a garden of my own. This is our first house. It is the first time I've had a little yard, and I have a garden bed, and I'm going to start with some grow bags, and I'm going to grow wildflowers and just grow so many things that are local to my area and grow a bunch of fruit and vegetables and see how I can provide for my family that way in this really basic, primal, beautiful way that we can connect to both nature and to our bodies. And it has awakened, I feel like in a way, motherhood has awakened this desire within me to take care of my family this way. But also the work that I've done so far feels like it has absolutely awakened a connection both with my own body and the ways that I can take care of my body and take care of my family's bodies through nourishment and through food and through healing this way, but also with my connection to the earth and connection to nature. And one thing that I'm doing in our yard is we have these giant leafy stalk things. I don't even know what they're called, but I decided to rip them out and make space to be able to put more vegetables, to put more tomato plants. And they have these huge bulbs at the base of their stalk that go a good foot, at least 12 inches down into the ground. And it's maybe 50 square feet, where I'm digging up these roots that are these giant bulbs that are all intertwined, and they're these huge, it's like a big network down there that they're all connected to. And it was really quickly into doing this work that it turned into a dialogue between me and the earth, where it's not these this plant is not it's not local to the Bay Area. It isn't fully invasive the way that like bamboo is in that sense, but it has that same energy. And as I was just taking out root after root and all these in these huge bulbs and really going gently to make sure that I wouldn't break it and that I could get every piece of it so it wouldn't grow back, it just felt I could it could feel the earth thanking me. And it felt like I was putting in the work in order to earn the garden's respect, in order to earn the trust of the space that I'm going to be working in. And there's something that is so beautiful and so simple about the way that we can interact with nature and interact with the earth this way. That is just the best example of you get what you put into it. You will receive the equivalent of the effort that you put in, of the energy that you put in. The intention and the effort that you choose to dedicate towards something, that is exactly what you're going to get out of it. And it really felt like I have so many plans for what I want to do with this space and the kind of little oasis and paradise I want to turn it into, for my family and for me to really just love and enjoy. And it's been a dream of mine to be able to do something like this for so long. And I absolutely love that I so quickly fell into this dialogue with nature, with the earth, with Mother Nature right in front of me as I'm digging out these really annoying roots that were really pissing me off. And it was the first experience also where, I couldn't do the whole thing at once. Got a 2-month-old. It is small, short moments that I'm able to dig up these roots and spend the time in the garden like that. But it's something that is on my mind all the time, where it feels like I need to go and prepare my space and spend time in this space that is going to eventually then turn around and give me so much nourishment and so much food and so much just healing energy for me and my family. I'm going to grow herbs and flowers that we can turn into teas and tinctures, and that we can start to go back to some really basics and in the way that we take care of our bodies and take care of our minds and the mental health that comes with it as well. It's something that I wish everybody had the space to be able to do something like this, had the time. It does take a lot of time, but also had the awareness that this is something that is so simple and can be so healing. And it's just such a great metaphor for life. And so I love the metaphor for life that this is, because it is something that is so rewarding, is damn hard to do. And it really is just an incredible representation of optimism. And I'm having moments where I'm realizing that I'm not being optimistic, right? Like in moments of saying, oh, what if I started my seeds wrong? What if I just wasted all of these seeds that I spent this money on and I don't know if it's going to be worth my time? What if I started at the wrong time? What if I get the schedule wrong? You know, there's all these things that you can worry about and fall into that cycle of worry. And the amount of times I've had to sit there and go, no, no matter what happens, there is always something else that I can do to correct it, to figure it out. No matter what happens, the nature and the energy around me is going to take care of me. I trust in that. I trust in this relationship that I'm developing with my garden, with this interaction that I get to have every day. I know that I'm going to do everything within my ability to take care of this space and take care of this little patch of nature that I have. And I know that in exchange, that nature is going to take care of me and help me take care of my family. And that's a version of faith. It's a version of trust. It's a very deep trust. And there's moments where I waver in that and I fall into worry. And worry is like a virus. It's like something that just, it's like a fungus. It just grows. It's like something that just seeps into you. It creeps in without you being fully aware of it. And then all of a sudden it's taken over everything. And gosh, with everything that's shifting with 2025 and with the energy that we're all feeling with this major shift into everything that's just going to continue to feel a little unsettled throughout at least the first half of this year is what it feels like. How easy is it to fall into worry with everything that we just don't know what's going to happen, right? Whether it's the inauguration, the state administration, or the economy, or our relationships, or all the shifts that are coming astrologically. My gosh, there are so many things. There's just the violence that's happening in the war, right? In all the wars throughout the world right now, or the food shortages that are happening throughout our country in the U.S. I don't know about you guys, but I still haven't been able to find any eggs in the grocery store for the past couple of weeks. So, you know, we're going to be trying to get some chickens. But it's so easy with all of the shifting, the shifting energy that is just all around us. It is so palpable in every area of our lives. And I know you all are feeling it. And it's so easy to fall into worry. And to not even realize that that's what you're doing. It's so easy to fall into worry, get fully absorbed by it, and then hours or sometimes days later, you realize, gosh, I have just been stuck in this cycle of worry. Sometimes we don't ever actually recognize it unless somebody else points it out. Or unless you have a moment very clearly where somebody says, goodness, you need to have some optimism. Or it may not even be a person in your life. It's a show like this where it's somebody talking about, hey, we should try to be optimistic a little bit more, right? It is insidious, the way that worry just takes over. And it's something that I fall victim to all the time. And it's something I consciously, very intentionally work on snapping out of faster and faster and faster every time. And especially when it comes to things we can't control, the level of unpredictability that's in the world around us, the level of just extreme differences that we have happening in the world and in our society around us. There's so much divide. Our world is so individualistic, where we don't have much community to depend on. The average person doesn't. We're not a very community-focused society these days. And it seems like, of course, that leads to loneliness. Of course, that leads to maybe more solitude than people want. And it makes that worry so much easier to sink its claws into us, in a sense. And it's so hard. It is so hard to decide, to admit even sometimes that community is something that you crave. And it is interesting that even people who designed their lives to include solitude, who thought that that's what maybe they needed or they wanted, and decided to leave some sort of community, decided to step away from a lifestyle that has deep community or even just consistent community. And maybe it made you happy for a certain amount of time, but it seems like more and more people are coming forward and saying, yeah, this solitude that I chose for myself now feels like loneliness. Now it feels like I'm isolated, and I don't want to be. And there is some palpable shift that is currently happening, where it feels as if everyone is, or maybe not everybody, maybe you're still happy in your solitude if you are, but a fair amount of people seem to be experiencing this craving for community and don't know what to do. We've all been, our whole society, especially in the US, is so isolated. And with working from home, with the level of technology that we have now, you don't need an assistant. You just have ChatGPT. You don't need somebody to teach you how to do something. You just have AI teach you how to do it. Technology has really taken over in that sense, and I think it's a lot of wonderful things that we now have access to, but I don't think it should take over everything. It definitely should not take over human interaction and the way that we depend on people, the way that we depend on a community, on society around us. And it's such a slippery slope with that one. It really is. But it really feels like so many people are waking up in a way and saying, okay, I am ready for people again. I'm no longer satisfied in my solitude. And if this is something that you're experiencing, but then you're looking and saying, gosh, but it's so intimidating to try to find community. It's so hard to make friends. It's so hard to put yourself out there. It's true. All of that is so hard and so intimidating. And also, we often make it seem so much harder than it needs to be. I think it can be a lot simpler, but we often jack it up or chalk it up to be something that is so intimidating and challenging and just hard to find. And something I talked about on this on my last show was that a piece of community that I'd forgotten about was my local library. And I was so excited to go get my library card, because I am a bit of a nerd, so you may not be that excited about going to get a library card. I was very excited about going to get my library card, but with all these, you know, there's all the parenting books that I wanted to get, and then all my gardening books and research I wanted to do, and it just made more sense to go to the library than to buy, you know, dozens of books. And I used to go to the library all the time, especially when I was a student. And I never would have thought that there would be years and years and years where I never set foot in a library. But I went to my local library and I found community. There's so many other parents that I can connect with. There are other families that I can connect with. There's people who are exploring the same hobbies as me that I can bond over and that I can learn from. And it seems as if, sure, there are plenty of people who go to the library and don't want to be talked to. And it may not seem like the most social space, but it is also a space where there's events and communities and groups that gather. And if you want, I'm just going to keep encouraging this, if you want to dip your toes into experiencing a bit more community and you don't know where to start, go get a library card. I guarantee there is something happening there that interests you. Regardless of what your interests are, there is something happening there that interests you. And worst case scenario, you get a book. Which I'll always encourage. I will always encourage. And community is just something that I think can heal us in so many ways, because the last thing that we need right now with all of the changes that are coming is to feel alone and to feel isolated. And talk about the easiest way for worry to seep in and take over is when you feel alone. And there's just, I think something that is just truly, it fully takes over. It feels as if this energy really fully takes over our consciousness. It fully takes over our priorities. It takes over our ability to problem solve, to make decisions. Is feeling like you don't know how you're going to handle these moments of unpredictability, these moments of chaos, of all the things that we don't know what or how they're going to go. And it's paralyzing. It is hard. It's really hard. And something that it seems as if everybody, of course, is really worried about going into, we're no longer going into 2025. We're about to finish the first month, but is worrying about your finances. It's worrying about your careers. And every single person I've talked to, there are some change that's happening in the first few months of 2025. Some change happening to their finances. And that is a really scary thing. We don't want unpredictable changes happening in our finances. But the thing I want to catch you all on is, even with me just saying this right now, how many of you just fell into worry? How many of you just went straight into, oh my gosh, I should talk to my accountant, or I should set aside more money, or do I have enough savings set aside? That's worry taking over right there. And I'm sure a lot of you didn't catch it. And it's hard to catch. I'm not saying that you should be able to catch this quickly and easily. It is hard to do. Which is why I'm mentioning it now. But how much less, it won't take that many that kind of worry just feels like it's just taking years off of your life. And how much better would it feel if, in the face of that unpredictability, in the face of that impending change, and the shift that is definitely going to happen there in some way, shape, or form, how powerful would it feel if, instead of giving in to that worry and that trepidation and that, oh, I don't know how I'm going to handle it, what's going to happen, right? It takes over so easily. How powerful would it feel if, instead of falling into that, we shift into looking for opportunity? Because within change, within unpredictability, within chaos, there is always opportunities for new. There are always opportunities that present themselves for new things that are maybe similar to some things that you've experienced or that you know about, but look slightly different or are involving other things, or there's opportunities for new experiences, and there's opportunities for positive change for you to intentionally bring into your life. And this is the kind of thing that's a lot easier to do when you have community, when you have other people who are going through similar things and you're seeing how they are reacting to it. Some of them are really going to get sucked into that coming. What opportunities can I find within it? Where can I bring positive change into my life in the midst of this chaos? How can I shift into that level of intention and consciousness within something that was previously just fear that fully occupied your entire body? And it's not easy to do, and it's even harder to do when you are alone. It is so hard to do when you are alone and you don't have that community around you to inspire you, to lift you up, to support you. And if this is the kind of thing that you aren't able to find physical community with, remote community, online community, all of us here at One2, right? They were a community. There's so many different types of spaces and communities that are all around you. Don't have to be physical. I think it's great when they can be physical. I think it really is great when it can be a physical space that you get to engage in and people you get to physically see face to face. It's so different. It is so different. With us having our first little baby. Our first kiddo chose to move out here, and we love it here. But we don't have that much family in the area. And of course, with having a kiddo, we are seeing our family so much more than ever before, than definitely in the previous few years. And we're seeing friends who are coming to visit so much more. And it's beautiful to actually get to experience, wow, I'm seeing things through their eyes as we just talk about life, as we cook food together, as we watch movies together. There's something that's really beautiful about being able to engage with each other and just talk about life, talk about big, serious things, and talk about goofy, fun things. And have serious moments, have fun moments, have lighthearted moments, have really intentional moments. There's something that's really wonderful about the variety of ways that you can interact with people when you're in person, face to face. It really is so different than remotely interacting with your community. And I love seeing the ways that physically having, and right now, with my example, we're having these people in our home, in our space. And it's beautiful for me to see the way that that is positively impacting how I go through my day. Right? I see how one of my best friends wakes up in the morning, really intentionally has a big glass of water, shakes out her hair, let go of the energy of the night of the day before, get some sunshine on her face, and that's how she starts her day. That's something that I've always wanted to be able to implement into my life as a starting point of my day, and get to the point where that is something that I naturally have as the beginning of my day. I think the way we start our day is so important. And when I was pregnant, I was doing pretty great at starting the day very intentionally that way. And of course, now with this little guy, I don't really have a start to my day. We, of course, shift the way that we interact with our home a little bit when the sun comes up. But I don't really have a start to my day. That is something that had fallen out of my routine a little bit. But seeing her start her day that way was a wonderful little reminder of, oh, right, I do love doing that. I do love the intention behind beginning my day that way and letting go of the day before. And the first thing I do is taking care of my body and resetting things in such a positive, intentional way. And that's something that if she hadn't been here, maybe it would have taken me a lot longer to remember that that's something that I really value. And that can have such a positive impact in my life. And it's mind-boggling to recognize the way, the depth, and the length of how community and bonds with people and being physically with people, the length that actually impacts your life. It's really remarkable to recognize that and to take a second and say, wow, these people who I really value and love can bring so much positivity and so much change and optimism into my life in the simplest, smallest ways. And when it comes to community, of course, all these people that you're starting to bond with, they're not going to be that very close, deeply trusting bond that you eventually get to over time. But they could turn into that. It could be the beginning of something that is truly sacred and special, the way that friendships and family can so often be. And not to put the pressure on your reintroduction back into a new community of that level of bond. And rather than pressure or worry, right? Thinking of it as pressure is once again slipping into worry that it may not be that successful. That was me slipping into, oh, maybe there's some worry there, right there. Right? Don't fall into that worry. Don't let pressure be the focus of that concept of what this connection could be. Allow it to be optimism. Go into a new community without thinking of the pressure of what if this doesn't work out. Rather, go into a new community with the optimism of, wow, this is a space full of people that I have yet to. And it's the same thing with all these shifts and changes as they come into your life, because they will. Things are going to continue to shift. Things are going to continue to change in the next few months. Absolutely. I guarantee there is unpredictable change that is going to happen in your life. And rather than letting that worry set in, even as I say those words, of what is it going to be? How am I going to know? What am I going to do? How am I going to handle it? Start to train your brain to let go of that worry. That's really the first step, is to step out of worry and to choose to step into intention. To choose to step into, how am I going to find the opportunity for positive change? To bring and invite wonderful energy into my life. To implement new habits. It could be things as simple as starting new habits. And starting to incorporate new routines into your daily schedule, into your daily life that bring you joy, that just can help you be more optimistic. Because if you really are struggling to figure out how to shift out of worry and shift into optimism, then maybe you need to incorporate new things into your life that allow you to feel that joy, to feel that optimism naturally, more frequently throughout every day. And for me, it was that wonderful gift of that tomato plant and the resilience there, the power there of, wow, I just stepped away and let nature do its thing. And I'm now being gifted with these beautiful, sweet, juicy cherry tomatoes that just make me so happy. And every single one is a reminder of my relationship with nature, is a reminder of the invitation to optimism. Because I think some things that we often forget is that our lives are not measured by what happens to us, right? We're not measured by our timeline. It's not measured by our accomplishments. It's measured by the way that we react. Especially the way that we react to unpredictability. Because if you can consistently react calmly to things that you know are coming, sure, you're a good planner, right? You know how to follow basic steps. But when you get to the point where you're able to confidently and consistently stay positive, stay optimistic in the face of unpredictability, then, wow, what a life you have led. It's high expectations. It is high things to strive for. But I think it really is something that enriches our lives. It makes our interactions with the people around us so much more deep and valuable. It makes life juicier. It makes it more fun. It makes things more just worth it. It makes it feel worth it, I think. And the last thing that we need is to add additional worry and stress into life when life is already stressful enough. Do not add worry. It's just going to take years off your life. A friend of mine was just talking to me about how her ex would panic whenever they were cooking, most of the time when they were cooking, and because they were following a recipe together, if they forgot to get one ingredient on the recipe, or if something had gone bad that they were supposed to use for the recipe, and he would completely panic and say, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We planned, we messed up, we should have checked to make sure that this wasn't going to expire before we planned to do this meal and everything. And she's sitting there going, okay, listen, we don't have to do this. We can go make this other recipe. We've got chicken or whatever it is, right? And that is such a great example of allowing worry and fear to control you, to take over entirely, rather than choosing to invite positive change into your life in the face of unpredictability. Right? Is something going to go wrong and you immediately go straight into, oh, I could have done things differently, and then all of a sudden you're filled with shame and guilt and, you know, things that are really not going to serve you and that are hard to shake. Those things are so hard to shake. Is that what you're going to allow to consume you? Or do you shift into optimism and positivity and opportunity? Right? Oh, we didn't have this ingredient. Wow, there's an opportunity for us to make this other recipe that I've been thinking about. Or, gosh, wow, we should really use this chicken before it goes bad. I don't know. Whatever the thing is that you, whatever that opportunity for optimism and positive change is, just go for it. And allow that to bring so much light and levity into your life. It really can be such a beautiful thing to allow that to take over. And community just makes it so much easier. And I think in a way I'm seeing my relationship with nature also as a level of community for me, because that is a relationship. That is a bond. and it's something that's full of magic and potential. The same way that our connection with other people is full of magic and potential. There's magic in everything all the way around, all around us. We just lose our ability to see the magic when we let worry take over. That's a whole other level of talking about worry versus optimism or versus positivity. Is why would you choose worry and miss out on all these moments of magic that are in life all around us when you could choose light and positivity and joy and experience the magic of life? There is magic surrounding us all the time. And the energy around us is just full of it. And I guess today I was really meant to just remind you all of that magic. And that it's a choice. The way that we handle and we react to things is a choice. And it is a wonderful measurement of our lives. Is what we choose. What we choose in the face of worry, in the face of unpredictability, and in the face of change is a great measurement of our life. And why not choose the magic? And I think we'll wind down from there. It is now 3 a.m. for me. We're getting close to the end of the hour. And I really enjoyed hanging out here with Lil Shelby and talking to you guys about optimism. And I hope that this is a message that helps some of you. I love it when the energy around me makes it so clear what I am supposed to talk about and what message needs to be heard. And so I hope you all are open enough to hear it. And if I'll be checking back into the chat room. So if you guys have any questions or just comments on this struggle between worry and positivity, I'd love to hear your thoughts. And I'll be checking with the chat room. And yeah, that's it for today's show, you guys. Make sure that you tune into the rest of our lovely shows throughout the week. This is the end of our live shows for today, or new shows that are coming up for today. You'll be listening to the replays of our shows for the rest of the evening. But at 8 a.m. Pacific time, we have wonderful Miss Peggy with Oh My Angels, starting at 8 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow. We're live all the way through 1 p.m. And we're adding some new great radio shows, you guys. This is going to be a really fun year for radio. And I'm excited to see where it's going to go. So stay tuned. That's some wonderful positive change we have coming our way right there. And I am really excited about it. But in the meantime, other than hearing me in the background sometimes while I'm producing for radio or seeing me in the chat room, you guys can find me at 1-2-Listen. I try to be online a little bit every day. My hours where I'm actively available online are a little limited now, given my little bubba. But please, you are always welcome to request a scheduled call, and then we can find a time that works really great for both of us so that we can connect. And that is a wonderful way to make sure that you can get your time and chat if that's what you need. And I'm always happy to support you all however I can, and if there's any messages that I'm able to convey or help you work through this challenging thing called life, I am always here to support. So thank you guys for listening in. Hopefully we'll be live with you all next week. If not, I will make sure to have another pre-recorded show for you all next Monday. And thank you for joining me and Lil Shelby today. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, you guys. Thank you for listening in. This has been Life Journeys with Serena on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you listen to the world.